You've discovered TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. The best in internet talk radio. Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Capozzoli with the How to Tour Italy radio show, and I've been getting lots and lots of requests on how to best go about planning your trip to Italy. So what we're going to do today is cover this in about 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, give you some highlights and some tips, and there's going to be lots of other supporting documentation and information on the howtotouritaly.com website as well as the blog. So what we're going to do, I'm going to just kind of go over the list really, really quick, and then I'm going to go over in some detail, and then I'm going to review the list again at an overview level. So here are the things to do in this particular order. First, pick your dates. Two, get your flights and choose the cities that you're going to be flying into and out of. Get your places to stay. How are you going to get around? Are you going to do this by car, by train, or a mix? Then what types of guidebooks do you want and which ones should you buy? What museums will you be making a reservation at and why? What kind of tours will you be taking? Large group tours, walking tours, cooking tours in classes, and day trips. And then some information about food and wine, what to eat, where to eat, what to look out for, that kind of thing. Then language stuff. Where are the best ways to learn and embrace the Italian language if you only want to learn as a tourist, or if you want to learn kind of full throttle, learn how to speak the language. But for this case, we're going to kind of pick a podcast or two, but so the language stuff is important. Then we're going to talk about building your specific itinerary so that you know where you're going to be, when you're supposed to be there, and how you're going to get there. And then finally, we're going to confirm everything and figure out, is everything set up the way I think it is, and is it all confirmed so that everyone knows that I'm supposed to be there and when I'm going to get there? And then finally, enjoying your trip here to Italy. So those are the things we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to be kind of doing the shotgun approach. And like I said, there'll be supporting material on the website, howtotouritaly.com. So with that, first and foremost, we are going to pick the dates to come to Italy. The best times to come here, in my opinion, are the spring and the fall. Summer gets to be really hot, but that's probably the third best time to come. So spring, I'd say May. Then May to June are both very, very good. July is summer, so I'll put that in third. But the fall, September and October here are spectacular. You can't go wrong. A little bit cooler at night. It's truly a really good time to go. So my first favorite time, spring and fall. My second favorite time would be summer, and I'm just going to say July in that regard. I'm not going to include August because August is usually here in Italy vacation time. Lots of restaurants are closed. Lots of things that you might want to do, places that you want to go will be closed. Not the main museums, but lots of the nooks and crannies and some of the hidden gems, some of the smaller towns, the cafes, things like that. So to avoid that, August is a time not to come to Italy. However, that being said, things are changing a little bit here in Italy, so that that isn't as true as it used to be 5 years ago. But, you know, in the far south, that is definitely true. But in the central Italy and the northern Italy, that isn't always the case. So you should be fine if you're going to be hitting the main cities. If you're planning on going to some of the smaller areas, August could be a little bit tricky. Just know that. That's not to say you're not going to have a phenomenal time, but just know. Then, what cities will I be visiting? Well, that depends on the flights you'll be taking. What I say in terms of, now that we've picked the time of year to come, I'm recommending spring or fall. We've got to decide on what flights we're going to take. Get the time off from work that you need, pick the times, and then if your job is pretty cool and they give you some flexibility within a week or two, take a look at, get all of the kind of the alerts set up online so that you can be alerted on any spectacular fairs that come your way. There are really good tracking systems out there. I set up a couple of different ones. When I come, I usually use miles, so I just go ahead and use miles to do that, and the mile exchange is getting more and more brutal with the airlines, so I always do keep tabs on what's going on with the fares. So what I do is I set them up with some direct airlines, so like American Airlines, United Airlines, and some other ones, so I can take advantage of those. But then I also look at things like Travelocity, Expedia, and different places. Like that, they've got great alert systems. They can set you up, let you know when prices to Italy or Milan come in at a particular price range in the duration that you're staying. Now, how long should you stay? I'm a big advocate of the 14-day trip to Italy. So this way, you with those extra couple days, some people come for 10, but if you come for 14, those extra couple days go a a really long way into getting you some quality time in one more location, and allow you to relax a little bit between cities to take full advantage of your trip here. This is Italy after all, so take full advantage of it. 14 days versus 10 makes a huge difference. We're only talking about 4 days here, so I really recommend it. It's a great way to go. Now, what cities do you fly into? You can either fly into and out of Milan or Rome, or do a combination of both. So if you fly into Rome, you might be able to fly out of Milan. But take a look at the prices. Sometimes it has a dramatic impact on how much a fare is if you change cities for arrival and departure. But if it doesn't cost you a ton of money, it's something you might want to consider so that you don't have to double back, and it'll just save you that train fare, which could probably be, you know, 80 euro a person or something. So it does add up. And if you're going to save the money in the long run by flying out of a different airport, if you will, maybe take advantage of that. The last few times I've been here, I have flown in and out of Rome, but before that, most of the time I flew into Milan and out of Rome, or into Rome and out of Milan. So you can take a look at both, and both scenarios work very, very good. Now, what I do recommend is the city that you fly into is the city that you stay in for a day or two. Rome is a very easy way to make that decision. I mean, Rome is the eternal city. There's always lots of great things to do. But even if you're flying into Milan, Milan is a beautiful city. It's a little bit more cosmopolitan and it's like a metropolis as opposed to some of the wonderful, smaller, more quaint villages and towns and things that you'd be visiting here in Italy. But Milan does have a lot to offer. The Duomo is simply amazing there. Da Vinci's Last Supper is there, and then Sforza Castle, along with other things like wonderful shopping. You are not too far away from some of the best wines in Italy in the region there. In Piedmont. So don't be afraid to dig in and thoroughly embrace Milan. We're going to get into this in a minute, but if you're going to stay in Milan and you want to see Da Vinci's Last Supper, you have to make a reservation. There is no way around it. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Now, we've decided on the dates we're coming, the time of year that we're going to be coming. We've put the alerts up so we can buy our tickets and you can capitalize on the best fares that come your way, depending on, you know, what airline you want to take or how you want to get here. Then you got to decide what kind of person you're going to be with your hotels or apartments or villas. Do you want to stay in an apartment or a villa, or do you want to stay in a hotel or a combination of both? I'm an apartment guy now. I love it. I think it's great because you can stay in the city, dig in a little bit. You get to live where the locals live. It's such a wonderful experience. And 9 times out of 10, the apartments are in places that the locals not only live, but that means that the cafes nearby are quality cafes. They're less money. The restaurants nearby are quality and less money. The hotels very often are situated in more touristy spots, which means that the cafes and the restaurants could be a little bit more expensive and generally of a lesser quality. That isn't always the case, and we'll get into some food and dining tips in a minute, but that's something to consider. So, just to review, pick the dates, what time of year we're going to be coming. Spring, summer, fall, that kind of thing. We talked about winter a little bit. The holiday season can be very expensive here in Italy, but it's something to check out. My advice to you, though, is don't make your first trip to Italy over the holiday season or in winter. You'd be disappointed because it's a bit cold, obviously, and the outdoor wonderful lifestyle of Italy doesn't always thrive in the winter months. So do yourself a favor, spend a couple extra bucks and come when the weather's great here. Again, spring or fall, my advice on that. Then pick the cities that you're going to be visiting and flying into and out of, and the order in which you'll be doing that. Just to reiterate again here, let's say you're flying into Milan and out of Rome. You want to capitalize on that and not double back. So you're flying into Milan. You're probably going to want to knock down Milan. You're going to knock down Venice. You're going to decide, are you going to be a Cinque Terre or an Amalfi Coast person? And my advice to you is to do some research and decide for yourself. Of the two, the Cinque Terre is a little bit more rustic, and it is absolutely gorgeous. The Amalfi Coast is down in Campania. That is my favorite food region in Italy. And if you do the Amalfi Coast, there are a couple of other wonderful sites you can see. So I'm not going to tell you which way to go. I love them both. So you got to decide. You're going to squeeze in the Cinque Terre in the north. You're going to squeeze in the Amalfi Coast in the south. And then what are you going to do in the middle? So you're going to go flying into Milan, kind of going in that order, heading down the map so you can, you know, do the trains on the way down without doubling back. So from Milan, you can get down to Florence, Florence to Siena, Siena to Rome, Rome down to Naples and the Amalfi Coast. So that's kind of the way that I would go. If you can go even further. You can get down to Calabria. You can get down to Sicily. You can get down to Puglia. There are always wonderful things to see here, all the way up to the Aosta Valley up north. So lots of things to decide. But first time here. Those are the cities that I'd recommend flying into Milan. I'd say Venice, the side of the Cinque Terre, Florence, Siena, the hill towns around Tuscany, always just an A-plus vacation. Heading down to Rome, and then from Rome, you got to decide you're going to do Naples, or the Amalfi Coast, or how you're going to go from there. But that's kind of what I mean in deciding on the cities and the order in which you're going to see them. It depends on what airport you're flying into, and make the city that you fly into your first day or two there so you don't get burned out. If it's Milan, one day and move on. If it's Rome, you've got 3 or 4 days to spend there, and you're going to be in great shape. Then you're going to be a hotel, an apartment, or a villa person. I recommend the apartment. Do day trips. The villa is the same bet. Do day trips. It's a great way to go. Hotels can be a little bit more expensive, and again, in a little bit more of a touristy area, which is always fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just going to give you a heads up that that's what can happen. Now, moving on to getting around. What do I mean by that? Are you going to take a train everywhere you go? Are you going to take a car everywhere you go, or a combination of both? First things first, with the train, do you need a EuroPass or not? These days anymore, I would say you do not need a EuroPass. Here's a couple reasons why. Number one, it is very, very easy to use the automated ticket machines at the train stations to purchase your ticket, even for same-day travel. The entire time that I have been here this tourist season, I have not once, I take that back, I've been denied only once on the exact train that I wanted to get on. I had to get on a train that left 15 minutes later, leaving Verona, arriving in Florence. I had to take a train that left 15 minutes later, so no harm, no foul in that regard. That's the only time this entire tourist season that I ran into any problems. So the automated ticket machines give you wonderful access in perfect English to buy your tickets where you want to go, either for same-day travel or future-day travel. It is great. So save yourself the online processing fees and all those extra fees and charges that go along with booking your URL pass online. Do them at the automatic ticket machines when you get to Italy. If you're not comfortable buying them the same day, you can make a special trip to the train stations, which are usually super accessible. It's super accessible in Rome and in Florence and in Milan to get to and buy your tickets for future day travel. So do yourself a favor and do that. This means that you avoid all those extra fees online. The URL pass isn't as necessary as it used to be. And then you don't have to wait in those huge lines to get the thing verified, because you have to get it stamped at the ticket window at the train station, which, you know, you'll wait quite a bit of time. I mean, it could be 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, depending on what's going on. You got to sometimes wait for the ticket window to be open. So the automated ticket machine is a great way to go if you're going to use the train. There's a video, however, also to support this on howtotouritaly.com in the video page. Check it out. I walk right through how to use the automated ticket machine. It is in perfect, pure English, so you won't have any problems at all. You can pay in cash. You can pay with a debit card. You can pay with a credit card. It is a great way to go. And further, you can pick the seats that you want to sit in. You can make your reservations and even pick who you're going to sit next to. You can buy tickets separately and pick who you're sitting next to, or buy them together and make sure that your seats are next to one another. It's very easy to use. Highly recommend it. Now, with the car, there's a couple of different ways to do this. One, you've got the typical car rental agencies that we're all used to in the States, which is I need the car for 3 days, you buy it for 3 days. Here in Italy, they also have longer-term rental, which means you can just purchase your car for your entire 2 weeks here, pick it up when you arrive, drop it off when you leave, and they've got wonderful rates to do so. There are links to both of these kind of car rental agencies on howtotouritaly.com, so be sure to check them out. Then the only thing I will say about this, the Vespa, if you are not a truly experienced Vespa driver or motorcycle driver, do not under any circumstances make Italy your first go at renting a Vespa. It will be a very big mistake. Many people that do so leave on crutches, or God forbid in a body bag, according to the U.S. consulate here in Italy. That is the biggest reason for people to end their vacations early, is accidents on Vespas. So please, please, please only do so if you are experienced. If you are not, it'll be rough for you, and I hate to see anything bad happen. So avoid that if you can. Now, guidebooks. What guidebooks should I buy? There are so many great guidebooks out there, and Barnes & Noble, as great a bookstore as it is and as big a bookstore as it is, isn't the end-all be-all of books that are available out there for vacations. They, by their own admission, only allow books that are going to be put on the shelf that have these ginormous marketing budgets, which doesn't always make them the best guidebooks. They just mean they have the biggest marketing budgets. I'd say look on Amazon.com. Check it out. There are so many great books. I'll give you an example. In Venice, if you're looking for where to eat, where to go, what to do, the Ciao Venice guidebook is wonderful. It is not available at Barnes & Noble, which is a real shame. It is one of the best guidebooks for Venice, for the food that you will enjoy there. And believe me when I say this, you'll need the guidebook to find the great places to eat, because Venice is not a city of great food, but with the Ciao Venice guidebook, it can be. And that's a book you can't find at Barnes & Noble. So go a little bit further. Maybe take a look at beyond what you might go, I guess, in first into your head. But I'm not saying don't buy those very popular, successful guidebooks, but maybe buy a few extra ones that aren't at the top of the list on Barnes & Noble or something like that. Amazon has a great list of books. Check them out. Do a little bit of research. Buy four or five. Pick your top one or two to bring with you to Italy, and you may surprise yourself that they're not going to be the most popular ones that we all know and sometimes love. And with that, moving on to the museum and site reservations. Which places do I need to make a reservation at? Here are the top five in Italy that will absolutely require reservations. Number one, in Milan, Da Vinci's Last Supper. You cannot and will not be able to get in without a reservation. You have to do so in advance and online. You're going to pay a little bit of a kind of a booking fee, if you will, but it's totally worth it, because I'd hate to see anyone get to Milan and not be able to get in and see Da Vinci's Last Supper. They time the visit. They only let so many people in per visit. I think it's every 20 minutes they let 20 new people in. So you will have limited time in there. And the only other way to get in there is to buy a walking tour, which sometimes is a great way to go as well. But if you only want to see the Da Vinci's Last Supper and move on, you have to make a reservation. Do so as soon as you know when you're going to be in Milan, to make sure that you're able to get in on the day that you want. Otherwise, you'll be very upset and walk or leave Italy without having seen the Last Supper, which would be a real shame. The David at the Accademia here in Florence, you for sure need a reservation. If you don't do it online, if you listen to How to Tour Italy in the past, you can buy your tickets at Or San Michele, between St. John the Baptist and Doubting Thomas. There's a little ticket window. It doesn't look like a ticket window, but it's a ticket window. Walk right up. You can buy same-day entry tickets for the Accademia and the Uffizi and walk right in, avoiding the line. And then when you buy your tickets, let's say you want to buy your tickets, but they only have one slot available at 3 in the afternoon. You're there at noon. You've got 3 hours to kill. But now you know you have 3 hours to kill. You're not waiting in line hoping to get into the museums. You now you have 3 hours to kill. You've got to be back at the museum at 3 to get in. No big deal. You can then do the Panino, the gelato, and the chocolate tour from How to Tour Italy, or you can walk around, do a little shopping, have an espresso or a shakarato, lots of great stuff to do. But now you know, so you're not wasting all that time. But I do recommend buying tickets for the David and or the Uffizi online, so that you know, or rather online before you get to Italy, so that you know when you're going to be getting in there. You've got your reservation done. Don't forget to print out your voucher, because you need those vouchers to pick up your tickets at both museums. And for Florence, in this specific instance, if you don't make the reservations online for the David of the Uffizi, again, or San Michele between St. John the Baptist and Doubting Thomas. And Doubting Thomas, Thomas is sticking his finger in Jesus' wound on his side, delivered by St. Longinus while on the cross. So you can't miss it. They're spectacular statues, too. So you can buy your tickets right there, walk right into both of those museums. Then in Rome, the Vatican Museum. I don't recommend buying a reservation online. Just go at 2:30 in the afternoon. You will walk right in without a line, and then you can enjoy the Vatican Museums and St. Peter's without the thronging crush of people if you go later in the afternoon. But be sure to go to howtotouritaly.com to make sure that the museum, the Vatican Museums, are open on the day of your planned visit, because I'd hate to see you get burned and stuck outside the locked doors of one of the world's most famous museums, because it's a religious holiday in Rome and there are plenty of them. So please be aware. Then finally, the Borghese Gallery in Rome. Again, this is one of those places you have to have a reservation to get in. It's completely worth it, especially if you are a fan of Bernini or Caravaggio. They've got some of the best, probably the world's best collection of both artists right there at the Borghese Gallery. So I highly recommend that. And it's one of the most beautiful places, in my opinion, in Italy. The Borghese Gardens are spectacular, and it's just a truly wonderful day. So bring your camera, be ready to have a good day. So those are the museums that I recommend that you make reservations for. Okay, I am going to pause and come back to you because my little device here is running out of batteries. So with that, I'll be right back, and we're going to pick this thing up with tours.
Dreaming of renting a villa in Italy? Papavero Villa Rentals, your Italy experts, will make that dream come true. We specialize in Italy 100% of the time. It's our passion and we love what we do. We're experts on travel to Italy and we're here to help you plan the perfect trip. From the Italian Alps to the beaches of Sicily, we personally select each property to assure your comfort. We travel to Italy multiple times a year to inspect and revisit each property to assure your physical comfort as well. We thump the pillows, check the water pressure, and sleep in the beds. We know each property intimately and are happy to help you choose the one that best suits your desires. And we don't stop there. Our frequent trips to Italy enable us to arrange day tours and services, all pre-approved by us, so you can book with confidence. No matter what your dream may be, a stunning villa with staff on Lake Como, a country cottage in Tuscany, a chic apartment in Rome, or anything in between, trust your dream to Papavero Villa Rentals. Call us toll-free at 1-866-737-0000. That's 1-866-737-0000. Or visit us online at papaverorentals.com.